just means not having sex, right?
But what is sex?
An intercourse?
And what the heck is outer course?
Well, people define sex, abstinence, and outer course in different ways. For some people, abstinence means not doing any kind of fooling around. No oral sex, vaginal sex, anal sex, nothing. They're abstaining from it all. Not only does this type of abstinence do a great job of preventing pregnancy, it's 100% effective, it also guarantees you won't get a sexually transmitted infection. For some other people, abstinence means not having vaginal intercourse. They do the other stuff, just not the thing that can lead to a pregnancy. All that other stuff is what we mean by outer course. Outer course is sex play without the penetration. It's like intercourse without the inner... you get it. Kissing, touching, grinding, massage, masturbation, sex talk, all of that can be lumped into what's called outer course. Outer course is also a great method of birth control. As long as no sperm get in the vagina, there's no risk of pregnancy. And if you avoid vaginal, anal, and oral sex, you reduce your risk for sexually transmitted infections as well. Like all methods of birth control, abstinence and outer course are more effective the longer and better you use them. They require determination, self-control, trust, and good communication. It also helps to know about other ways to protect yourself from unintended pregnancy and STDs, just in case you decide to have intercourse. If you'd like to learn more about outer course and abstinence, you should check out PlannedParenthood.org. If you're a teen, you might want to look into Teen Talk. There's tons of information and discussions.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes.
And we were told the lacrosse game was going to end at a quarter after. It's okay, you know, no problem. We can scramble. We have all kinds of contingency plans. But, boy, sports is just unpredictable, isn't it? We won, though. That's the important thing. We won. It's getting crazy out there. It's gotten crazy out there, as we all know. We've been talking about this for a while. And we've had some developments, some things that are still developing. But this whole Doge business, boy, it is it's getting crazy. It's getting so crazy. What Elon Musk has been doing to federal workers all over the country. The latest thing, well, not the latest thing, but the latest thing as of 24 hours ago was he issued an ultimatum, just like he did at Twitter, where people have to justify their existence. Yeah, you have to reply to an email and basically tell them five things that you accomplished, that you did last week. Now, can you imagine how that feels to have a job that you've worked at maybe for decades, and to have this pipsqueak come in and demand that you tell him why you should stay there? I mean, I would be tempted to write some things for sure. Probably would get me in trouble, but whatever. Who is this idiot to come in and assume that he knows your job better than you do? So there's been a bit of pushback, let's just say. And in fact, there are a bunch of agencies where people were told to ignore this ultimatum. So it's all kinds of confusion. FBI, State Department, Pentagon, they all said, don't comply with that. Don't listen to Elon Musk, who somehow seems to think he's the boss of everybody now. Guy's gone out of his mind. Did you see him at CPAC this weekend with the chainsaw? You saw that, Kyle?
Yeah, he's I would love to know what some youth would say, but I think the word is cringe with a capital C. Like, he's talking about memes and stuff, and he just looks so geezer.
Wow, okay, yeah. Is that a word that we can say it like that?
That's how I say it.
You're so geezer, okay.
I mean, there's some dope geezers out there. Don't get me wrong.
No disrespect.
Geezer full on can be like a respectable label, but there's also like lousy geezers. I think he's fully in that category.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So anyway, he sent this email to hundreds of thousands of federal employees on Saturday. Just think about that. He has access to all the email addresses for every single federal employee. Right away, that's scary. This guy was not elected. This guy has no known qualifications. He's just basically put there by Trump, who says, go ahead, go crazy. And he's done that. He's gone ahead. He's gone crazy. So now all these federal employees feel they have to answer to him. And this is how fascist republics begin. Actually, we're well into it now.
Or end.
Hopefully soon. Because, you know, we're making enemies of the entire world. I don't know if you've noticed, Kyle, but we're pissing off everybody.
It's so embarrassing. Like, I'm used to the sort of needing to sort of preface your existence with I'm not condoning this conquest or conflict or war or, you know, whatever the disgrace we're embracing on a national level is, or our history. But this is next level. Like, there is not a place in the world we could go that wouldn't be like snapping at us over, like, why are you here? How do you show your face?
Yeah, like, how dare you?
Yeah, like, you have to like let them vent. And then you can, like, order your coffee or whatever, you know, check into your hotel. And it's weird to me because they're assailing globalists, yet they're transnational capitalists, which are essentially globalists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fully, like, pop calling the kettle black, like, all of that. It's just total hypocrisy at every turn.
Oh, yeah.
And then scapegoating, like an entire herd of scapegoats at every utterance of theirs.
You know, we've heard silly programs or grants that were allegedly funded that Doge is getting rid of, you know, like, I don't know, a study on the TV viewing habits of the Mediterranean toad. Or, I don't know. Ridiculous things that make absolutely no sense. And the reason they make absolutely no sense is because they probably don't exist. They're probably just being made up and being used to get people outraged to say, my God, look at all this money that's being wasted. But if you keep following it, pick one of these. Like, you know, what was it, condoms for Gaza or condoms for, was it for Hamas? I don't even know. Ridiculous, you know, program that actually didn't even exist. You know, whatever it was distorted into something else completely. But it's designed to get you upset, outraged, and to believe that these people are actually doing something. But when you look, there's an article in the Times today about how some of the biggest money savers that Doge was bragging about have quietly disappeared because they didn't really exist. And that is how you manipulate people, by getting them to believe that either this particular group of people are the enemy, or this particular person is to blame for something that they're not to blame for, or, you know, they did something that they didn't actually do, and they deserve credit for something that they never had any idea they were doing in the first place. Ridiculous things like that just keep happening. You keep hearing about them. Now, you know, the decent media questions it. The decent media pushes back. But there's a lot of other media that's not decent, that's not good, that just basically parrots whatever the administration says and does not question anything and attacks those who dare to question. You know, media like Fox News or all those other ones that are popping up now, what, One America Network and Newsmax and all that, there's no end to them. And then, of course, you've got all the bloggers, the right-wing bloggers who are basically spreading even more. You know, we have a right-wing blogger now. Have you seen this guy? Have you seen the deputy FBI commissioner? This is the guy who actually does stuff. You know, Kash Patel is a figurehead, pretty much. This guy, he seems like a psycho to me, an unbridled psychopath. He looks super angry. He looks dangerous. He's
is that
been,
the bong guy bonging in or bonging?
I you know, bong? It's this is so recent. I haven't even remembered his name.
I think I know.
Yeah, but
he's
it's
a pot, he has a stream or something.
If you look at him, you will back away. Let's put it that way. You will not want to engage.
I would just say, like, it is not that there is media that we're finding fault in this whole thing. Like, it's okay that there's media. It's okay that there's a lot of media. It's okay that there's independent. It's and that there are independent forms, and there are sort of self streaming, you know, self podcasting.
Right.
Like, that is an incredible development for with the advent of the internet. And
we're kind of doing that right now.
We sort of do it, but and the station and there's many different ways to go about it through low power FM
actually on a real radio station,
right,
too. So that's more than we have over those people.
Yeah, it's more so we're augmenting our radio broadcast, those transmissions, with a internet stream to sort of complement it and give us global reach. But the thing that there's, like, the media, like, that's kind of their thing. They like to assail any media, any criticism, and they cloak it in this concept of the media is the problem, which is so disingenuous, because the media is the fourth estate. Your voice, your ability to speak, whether it's on a larger sort of stage or with a bigger microphone, or from your relative obscurity streaming to some kind of hosting platform online or elsewhere, or just out in the town square. Like, that's not the issue. It's not that there's, like, media that we have a problem. It's that media is being co-opted through the ownership schemes, through political, let's say, Well, I want to say politicization. Did I even
it's
pronounce
a hard
that
word
right?
to say.
Politicization.
I avoid that word, but it's the right word to use.
To politicize. Yes. Yeah, that it's being and it's sort of mimicking right wing talking points, and I think there's more disagreement in the left or in Democratic media or whatever you want to call it,
right.
That the or let's say mainstream or middle of the road kind of with a balance, but they don't call themselves fair and balanced while parroting the like right wing talking points. So I just want
to
as someone who has let's say as a practitioner. In the art of communication, and whether visual or audio or film and artwork or whatever, like that is a fantastic thing. We should have those mechanisms, and especially in moments where there is critique due. But the problem with it is the sort of coordinated efforts to keep people in an echo chamber that befits a ruling class or a dominant like hegemon, someone that is dominant in the mainstream is hegemonic. So their hegemony, yes, big words. Oh no, big words. Kyle's using them, but yeah, like it's a problem when they keep people from different ideas because it suits their political ends. So that's what I think needs to be said about assailing the media, because mm-hmm. not all media is bad. In fact, having media isn't bad.
No,
and I get a little bit perturbed when we start going down that road of like, well, media is the problem. Media, because it's so tired and like cliched that people complain about the media. You can't even show a video camera. It used to be like, you would show up with a video camera, there would be a modicum of respect
mm-hmm.
that the media, that some, that we're going to be on TV, you know, like, gee whiz, that's a big deal.
Right.
Now, no one cares. And in fact, if there are any cameras out, if you walk around in another country with a microphone, you're like a pariah immediately, because people think of the media as these sort of ills. And they're told that through the very echo chamber that I'm complaining about.
Well, you know, there's truth in that. And media has caused many problems, especially in regimes where other sides aren't really presented fairly. The state spokespiece is the media. We have not been used to that here. We're getting used to that because it's happening more and more. It's happening also in social media, and they have microphones too. All right, and they are spreading all kinds of misinformation in places. Others are doing good job, just like in mass media and social media. There's good, there's bad, there's fair, balanced, there's restrictive, there's completely fictitious. People need to realize that there are always a variety of perspectives that are being presented. And to label everybody with one broad brush, that is a huge mistake. So, you know, while I have my problems with the mass media, we do need the mass media. If we rely simply on right-wing podcasters, as many of us have chosen to do, we are not going to know what's happening around us. We're going to know what we'd like to be happening around us, what we, want to believe or are compelled to believe, but we are not going to be prepared for the actual world. And I'm seeing more and more of that with every passing day of this administration, where basically complete lies and fictions are being put forth as truth, and people repeat it because they heard it from what they believe is a reliable source.
When you'll miss these things when they're outlawed or when they're gone. I mean, the first thing when
some people won't. Some people won't even know they exist or ever did.
The first thing that is upended or taken over upon taking over, like an invasion of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Name a conflict. First thing we did when we went into Iraq and these places, other than shock and awe, was take over the communications or jam them or just decimate it. mean, that's what happens, is communication methods are co-opted.
You said we. You meant communist China or Soviet Union or some dictatorial regime. You didn't mean the United States, did you?
No, George W. Bush.
Oh, dear. I need to study my history.
Or his father.
No,
George H.W., whatever.
They always come for the transmitters.
Halliburton?
Yeah. That's
General Dynamics.
That's why radio is so important, because radio transmits. It's not something that you seek out, that you connect to, that there is a log of you connecting to, if it really comes down to it. Radio, you turn on a radio. You could be in your car right now. You could be in your house right now. Although the number of people with radios in their homes these days. Look, we all need to have radios because they're anonymous. They are ways of hearing voices. There are ways of knowing there are other people out there. And it can't be turned off as easily as a net connection can be.
One other thing that came to mind when you were just speaking was, how often do we judge people we know based on the type of media they consume?
Oh.
Like, do you have friends that you know listen to certain things? I know I'm probably judged because I listen to what, Us, to WSB, I read whatever I read, right? Certain zines are in my media diet. But how often, I mean, I think this goes on. Mm-hmm. And when people talk about what they listen to, I make mental notes. I know they might be media starved.
Yeah, you know, there are things, I don't understand how anybody can listen to music on Spotify. I just don't get it. You're robbing yourself. It's not real, all right? you need to dive in to the actual media that is being put out, whether that be vinyl or CD or even downloads. But to go to this service and pay a fraction of a penny to the artist for every time, you know, you listen to their music, and they get ripped off in the end. I could go on.
I would say, think of it as a diet, mm-hmm. and think of what your peers and people that you think their opinion is important. If they knew you just go to a trough and eat slop for your media diet, how would they feel about it? Would they show up? Would they want to maybe give you a hug or keep their distance maybe or offer you a mint?
To be clear, we're not the slop, right? We're the fine dining. At least I hope we are. No, I don't want to be that either. No.
Fine dining can be awful, too.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
But a rich diet.
Home
maybe,
cooking. How about home cooking? Nice sincerity. That's what USB is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, fresh from the market.
I started a story a while ago. Boy, did we get derailed several times. So Elon Musk put out this decree. And that's what he's doing. The guy believes he's a king. And Trump believes he's a king too, literally wearing a crown. Some agencies, especially the ones that kind of deal with sensitive stuff, you know, like FBI or Defense Department, CIA, they were like, yeah, you know, you don't have to answer him. In fact, don't answer him. Don't tell him what you're doing. Don't even give your name to him. And they kind of backed off a little bit. In fact, there was a story, Elon Musk gives federal workers another chance to justify jobs. Yeah, he said they have another chance to justify their work or lose their jobs as the original deadline passed at midnight, with staff at multiple federal agencies told to disregard his request. Subject to the discretion of the president, they will be given another chance, Musk said. But then he went on to say that failure to respond a second time to email will end in termination. Now, before that, he had said that it might, you know, failure to respond might result in you losing your job. And now it's, you will get fired. So basically, federal employees will get a second chance to respond to an email asking for a recap of their accomplishments from last week. What if you were on vacation? What if you were sick? What are you supposed to say then? You know, what if your job is basically, doing the same thing over and over again? And if nothing goes wrong, that's a good job. You know, there are people who have jobs like that where basically, you know, quiet is good because that means they're doing their job. To come up with five things, it's just so micromanaging. I just, sorry, I just want to smack them. subject to the discretion of the president, they will be given another chance, he said. And he did that on Twitter, of course. Failure to respond a second time will result in termination. He must think he's a terminator or something like that. The message appears to contradict recent guidance from the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, which told, by the way, hr@opm.gov is the email address that all these emails are coming from. HR for Human Resources at OPM for Office of Personnel Management .gov. I don't know what happens if they get a lot of email from non-GOV domains. Maybe they filter them out, or maybe it brings their system crashing down. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, it appears to contradict those emails that came from that address. This afternoon, OPM, during a Chief Human Capital Officers Council meeting, I'm sorry, that's a hard sentence to say and keep a straight face. During a Chief Human Capital Officers Council meeting, I mean, it sounds like something that, you know, a bad version of Star Trek would have in a scene, you know? Anyway, that council informed agencies that employee responses to the OPM email is voluntary. OPM also clarified that a non-response to the email does not equate to a resignation. That OPM guidance initially came amid a turf war between agency leaders and Musk. Yeah, leaders of all the governmental institutions versus Musk. And who do you think has more power in this crazy regime? In a message to staff on Saturday, FBI Director Kash Patel said, when and if further information is required, we will coordinate the responses. For now, please pause any responses. Now, keep in mind, he's a lunatic as well, and he's telling people not to listen to Elon Musk at the moment. I can't imagine what it's like to be working one of these places. I don't think much work is getting done. No, I think a lot of time, effort, and money is being wasted. But, you know, things get worse. Things get worse. We were talking about media and the importance of a diversity of media. Well, today, the White House press secretary, Karoline Leavitt, have you seen any of her press conferences? Boy, they're contentious.
Yeah, she's really defensive.
At everything.
I mean, I can understand why, because there's a lot of indefensible stuff that she has to actually defend, given her job, but...
I guess, but, you know, I don't know. Does that mean she has a conscience? Does she know she's doing things that are bad, and that's why she's so...
No, it's really, like, shouty.
Yeah, very
because
shouty.
Because she's, like, telling people how they should be, even if it's utter craziness. There's, like, all these commands that come with her like, defensive responses.
Oh,
I
love being commanded to, like, do things by people who have absolutely no control over me. I love that so much. Yeah. Anyway, it's going to get better, though. It's going to get better. There's going to be less shouting. You know why? Because they're going to control this. They're going to control the press. Karoline Leavitt said today the Trump administration will start handpicking which media outlets were allowed to participate in the presidential poll. Yeah, so now that change, it basically breaks decades of precedent. Pretty much as long as the media has been around, it's breaking with that. Never before have we had this Soviet-style system where only certain members of the media are allowed to ask questions. I don't know if the questions are going to be pre-screened. Probably, I wouldn't doubt it. But no more variety. They determine who gets to sit there, who gets to speak, who gets to disseminate information to the people. Now, because presidents often hold events in smaller settings like the Oval Office, where not every reporter who covers the president can fit, the pool format has long been used to ensure that journalists accurately record a president's comments. The reporters who witness the events distribute a series of pool reports to a wider group of journalists, including hundreds of news outlets that cover his daily activities and remarks. The pool is mostly made up of journalists from organizations like CNN, Reuters, the Associated Press, ABC News, Fox News, and the New York Times. Now, Levitt said the new policy was intended to allow new media outlets, such as digital sites, streaming services, and podcasts, to share in this awesome responsibility.
Yeah, that sounds good, but why don't you give us a little sample of what their cesspool
how,
is going
how
to
How about
become.
You let us in, okay? You want variety? You want new voices? Yeah, let off the wall in, all right?
No.
Why not? Why not? I want to see what it's like.
No, it's White House cesspool. I don't want to have any part of it.
Well, maybe we can, you know, purge the cesspool somehow. I don't know. Sometimes it's good to infiltrate. Whatever. Yeah, they'll never.
Well,
they won't let us in.
Maybe some students can check it out.
Eugene Daniels, president of the association, said this moves tears. I'm sorry, I read that completely wrong. No, this move tears. I thought they were...
like eye-watering?
Yeah, well, that's how I feel. This move tears at the independence of a free press in the United States. It suggests the government will choose the journalists who cover the president. In a free country, leaders must not be able to choose their own press corps.
Well, here's my point. Were they competent and doing things that affected Americans, like affected their lives, I would say, okay, we're missing out on something. But what other than like what hard-hitting questions are actually going to be answered with those outlets in their cesspool? I don't think so. Like, they'll just be sort of mirroring and huffing their own fumes. They're not going to be, like, getting any kind of, like, critical thinking out of it. It won't be any kind of, like, challenging to their lines. It'll just be sort of ingratiating different organizations to their to what they're defensively telling you should think, which is kind of how they roll. So it's like, is the pool as we know it missing out on much? Like, can't we just rely on the leaks and the disintegration and other tumult to get, I mean, what points are they making there that we're going to miss out on? I mean, if no one's going to be there to really challenge anything they're saying, but more just like be more apt to congratulate them and do this sort of obedient kind of coverage, is it really something that we're missing? Like, if it's a challenging, diverse, truly dynamic group of journalists, then it's going to make for interesting press conferences.
Let me stop you right there, because you said a word that is anathema to them. Am I using that word right? But you said challenging. They don't like challenges. They don't like to be challenged. They don't like to have other views. Look, all this you heard over the past however many years, that somehow freedom of speech was under attack by the left in this country, that we were too woke, that we were basically policing people and canceling people. Look at who's in power now. Look at the control that they are seeking to get over every aspect of society and government and media and everything. All right? And ask yourself why. You know, if they are so enamored of freedom of speech and letting people talk, why won't they do it? Why won't they let the media talk? Why won't they let people talk? Why do they have to stack everything so that loyalists are doing everything on their... Look, we had the Joint Chiefs of Staff being purged over the last week. We had JAG officers, the lawyers that basically decide military justice. They are being replaced with loyalists to Donald Trump. And there are a number of people who are gravely concerned about what this could be signaling, in that we are going into a state where unrest is inevitable, because prices are going to soar, social programs are going to be decimated, all kinds of misery is going to unfold, and these guys don't care, because those are just the common people. The rich people, they'll be taken care of. They'll have their tax breaks and get their contracts and all that, but there is going to be some massive unrest like we have probably never seen before. Now, do you recall, under the last Trump regime, when the George Floyd protests were taking place, how Trump expressed the desire to shoot protesters in the street, peaceful protesters in the street? Or maybe they were shouting a little too loudly for him, so he didn't consider that peaceful. But he wanted to shoot them. And it was basically his defense secretary who said, you can't do that. Well, now his defense secretary won't say that. Now the people surrounding him, who are all loyalists, will do whatever the hell he wants. And that means shooting people in the street if it comes to that. And I wish I could say it won't come to that, but boy, they're lining up all the pins, and all we need now is to roll the damn ball. Balding analogy. Anyway, there are signs that people have had enough today. 21 Doge employees resigned. Yeah, saying they were refusing to use their technical expertise to dismantle critical public services. This is what we've been waiting for. People are reacting. People on the inside are saying something. This is essential if change is going to happen. People have to make sacrifices. They have to show the courage that is buried deep within them. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But this is how change happens. Look through history. It's always how change happens. We swore to serve the American people and uphold our oath to the Constitution across presidential administrations. The 21 staffers wrote this in a joint resignation letter. They continued, however, it has become clear that we can no longer honor those commitments. They also warned that many of those enlisted by Elon Musk to help him slash the size of the federal government were political ideologues who did not have the necessary skills or experience for the task ahead of them. This is what we've been saying for the last few weeks. Basically kids following Elon Musk around like he's some kind of deity. The mass resignation of engineers, data scientists, and product managers, it's a temporary setback for Musk, and the Republican president's tech-driven purge of the federal workforce comes amid a flurry of court challenges that have sought to stall, stop, or unwind their efforts to fire or coerce thousands of government workers out of their jobs. But it is something. Of course, going back to Carol Nevitt at the White House, how do you think she treated this? With complete disdain, because that's how you treat democracy. Anyone who thinks protest, lawsuits, and lawfare, whatever that is, will deter President Trump must have been sleeping under a rock for the past several years. President Trump will not be deterred from delivering on the promises he made to make our federal government more efficient and more accountable to the hardworking American taxpayers. Nice words. Unfortunately, the reality does not fit them at all. The staffers who resigned worked for something that was once known, and this is interesting, as the United States Digital Service. The United States Digital Service. That was an office established during Obama's administration after the botched rollout of healthcare.gov. Remember that? That was a catastrophe when that website was launched.
They got a lot of traffic.
A lot of people were enthused.
A lot of people wanted health care.
I prefer to look at it as, boy, our health insurance was in such bad shape that as soon as a website showed up that alleged to tackle it all, it crashed immediately under the weight. And, yeah, that's what happened. All previously held senior roles at tech companies like Google and Amazon, they wrote in their resignation letter they joined the government out of a sense of duty to public service. So good on them for speaking up, doing the right thing. We need more people to do that. Now, according to staffers in various agencies, people wearing White House visitors badges, some of whom would not give their names, grilled the nonpartisan employees about their qualifications and politics. Can you imagine somebody in a visitor pass coming up to you and demanding to know the ins and outs of your job and for you to justify your existence? I'm sorry, I would not handle that well. Or maybe I would handle that perfectly. But somebody would be going out a door or window if necessary. This is not acceptable.
I think I've been shielded from this in a lot of ways. Like, my experience, I just haven't had... I haven't been really, like, worn down by the managerial, like, thing.
No, we are individuals. We're very independent. And we don't suffer fools gladly.
We don't get this like thing of like having hierarchies that control you in all these ways. So I can imagine if you're inducted into a system like that, and then someone who's complete outsider, who, like you said, is a visitor, comes in and starts wielding like their suit in a supervisory role. That alone, I think, is the tell that this is not something that is to be respected. If you are a part of this whole like office, this culture of managerial hierarchies, so it's just laughable.
Do you realize how easy it is for anyone now to go into an office, you know, a federal office, and say, "Yeah, I'm with DOGE. Here's my visitor pass. I'm not going to tell you who I am. What do you do? Give us details. I don't know anything. I'm not telling you who I am." Well, that's almost what's happening. They say these interviewers refuse to identify themselves. They ask questions about political loyalty. They ask questions about political loyalty to federal workers. Good God.
That is anathema. That's like right there.
Don't use that word twice in one show.
Okay. That's un-American.
They attempted to pit colleagues against each other. What is this, The Wire? For God's sake, it's a federal office. It's one of the most boring places on earth, and you kind of create drama here between workers. Boy, they also demonstrated limited technical ability. This process created significant security risks. You think? Unreal. Wow. Continuing with the resignation letter, these highly skilled civil servants were working to modernize Social Security, veteran services, tax filing, health care, disaster relief, student aid, and other critical services. Their removal endangers millions of Americans who rely on these services every day. The sudden loss of their technology expertise makes critical systems and Americans' data less safe. And that is certainly true. The first natural disaster that happens in this country is going to be even more of a disaster because of what they've done to these agencies.
Well, it would be the second, because this is a pretty nasty natural disaster in and of itself.
This is not a natural disaster.
Okay.
This is a dumbass disaster.
Supernatural.
Yeah, this it's outrageous.
I can't really envision how any of this is actually going to get put back together.
It's going to be so hard.
Once it's obliterated and all Americans are feeling that freedom and feeling good about paying whatever taxes are left. I don't even understand how's that system even going to endure and what will they be for? Will you just pay directly to Raytheon? Like, I don't get it.
I am no fan of bureaucracy. I am, you know, no fan of state offices and federal offices, but I do recognize that they are important for certain things. You can't just go and you know, with a chainsaw and destroy it all, because you have to have a plan. You have to have something to replace it with. And these guys don't have a plan. They have nothing. And that's what we're going to be left with, is nothing. You know, our tax dollars go into this. We're not getting anything back. Despite what you might think, we are not getting anything back. We are losing vital services. And a whole lot of people are losing their livelihoods. You know, things they've worked many, many years for. Just being treated like, you know, collateral damage. It's unbelievable. And the thing is, you know, this is something that I think is uniting Democrats and Republicans. I mean, town halls in those places, Representative LaLota, where the representatives have the courage to have a town hall, people are showing up, and they are not happy. They're not happy at all. And I could see why.
And think of the turnabout. Like, if you play dirty, and then people respond in kind and treat you that way, how can you be surprised? I mean, what surprise will there be when there's just abject, ruinous sabotage throughout industry and government in response to this? People will be very upset, and it won't necessarily, if they know they're going to get shot in the street by the military that has no moral, like, guardrails, it'll just play out elsewhere. And you'll be at the effect of the people. You'll understand how little it costs to find true freedom. It's very cheap. It's very cheap. We will emancipate ourselves of this.
I think a lot of people are waking up and seeing true evil
and,
that's been unleashed. And it's, you know, it's something that is going to affect us all, no matter which way we went last November. I think many, many people's eyes will open up wide and see this is a real threat to us as individuals, to our nation as it exists today, to the entire world. Because, boy, you know, we are throwing the world on its ass in a bad way. What we've done to Ukraine, my God, how shameful is that? I mean, do you remember what Trump did to the Kurds, you know, years ago? Completely abandoned them after their courageous fighting against ISIS.
Is that YKP?
And, you know, it's basically the same thing with Ukrainians that have been fighting courageously against a Russian invasion, which Trump has the audacity to blame them for and to say they should have made a deal 3 years ago. Yeah, that deal would be called surrender. And apparently that's what he wants them to do. Just yesterday in the UN, there were votes to condemn Russia for invading Ukraine, the simplest thing in the world. Now, Russia voted against it, which I guess you can expect, although, yeah, I think if you're being condemned, you shouldn't really get a vote, because obviously you're not going to want to be condemned. But whatever. Okay, so they voted against it. And a bunch of other countries voted against it, too. You know, the countries that always vote against things, you can't quite figure out why. North Korea, and I think Iran, and maybe Sudan. I don't know. But, you know, what was particularly shocking, Israel. Israel voted against condemning Russia for invading Ukraine. Israel, why would Israel do that? Why would Israel vote against a country invading? Oh, because they like to occupy. They like to take over places. They like to bomb. Okay, I'll note that. Israel did not ever really say much against Russia. In fact, Israel, when I think about it, they never really said much against ISIS, and that's kind of interesting. But you know what?
They send doctors.
Do they?
Every now and then, yeah.
To where?
Conflict zones.
Okay, well,
that's about it.
That's not enough. I'm sorry. I don't even know what that means, because they voted on Russia's side. Why the hell would they do that? And the thing is, if you look at the media, nobody's talking about that. For some reason, Israel gets a pass. They can do this. And I guess it's kind of overshadowed because there's another country that voted on the side of Russia. Our country. The United States voted with Russia against Ukraine in the United Nations yesterday. They would not condemn Russia for invading Ukraine. And at this stage, you have to ask yourself, boy, I slept through the coup. Because this is not what people voted for. This is not what people wanted. We saw in Ukraine what we believe happened in our country at the very beginning. You know, that that nice innocent picture of the United States fighting for independence against the evil British. Whatever. You can believe whatever you want as far as that goes. But Ukraine had a legitimate defense to keep Russia from taking over their country, and everybody got that. And in fact, many countries still do get that. Europe gets that. In fact, Europe pays more money to help Ukraine than we do. Even somehow, we've been told that we pay more, and we don't. And now Trump is trying to squeeze Ukraine with its precious minerals or whatever, get money back that way. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But, you know, that's only one thing. It's the end of February. Have you all forgotten? The tariffs are going to come back. He said, I'm going to do the tariffs for Canada because he's pissed off at Canada for some reason. And, that's going to happen March 1st, I believe. And that's Saturday. Maybe it's the 3rd or Monday. I don't know. But it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt them for no reason. No reason at all. The guy's out of his damn mind. Oh, but Kyle, we saw the Four Nations hockey final last week, and boy, was that worth it to see Canada beat the United States. Hey, I have nothing against the United States hockey team, but in that particular case in Boston, Canada in overtime beat the United States, and the entire country of Canada just erupted. This is a victory they needed. This is a victory that they deserved. And it just, for one night, was just such happiness, such joy, and such unity.
I don't watch hockey that much. Like, I don't know the plays and the strategy behind it, but that was a filthy game. That was so good. It was like, it was unbelievable. Just tense. Actually, the American team was kind of definitely keeping Canada, like, on their heels, like, on their side for a lot of the game. But it was back and forth. But that last shot was so good, just deep in the top of the net. It was just crazy to see it and know, wow, they just, sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
We just dropped dead right there on the rink, on the ice. It was it, you know. That was the resounding win that spoke to just how badly I think this sentiment that we're all at the effect of, that we're all feeling right now, will fail one way or another.
Right.
There was, I think James Carville was talking about how the Democrats should just not do anything.
That's today's op-ed. Yeah, it's like, come on, really? Your strategy is for people to just do nothing.
We're gonna
and
do
wait
nothing.
For the Republicans to implode.
Well, and wait for the American people to miss the Democrats and beg them to come back.
That's real courageous, James.
I gotta say,
it's not enough. It's not enough.
We've kind of seen that in the Democratic leadership a little bit, and people aren't having it on the Democratic side, and the rest of America that voted for this and might have second thoughts, like, we'll stand with you, you know, we'll warm our hands on the burn barrels with you and stuff, but you owe us a little.
We'll bring that up later. We'll bring that up later. For now, you know, as many people coming together as possible will be good. But, yeah, you know, it's like when I was bullied in school, all right, and the advice I got was to just let him keep hitting you. He'll get tired eventually. No, that never really works. It doesn't work. You have to fight back in whatever way you can. And just, you know, basically thinking that not doing anything, the Democrats will be missed and welcomed when people get tired of the Republicans. No, people are going to forget about the Democrats, and they'll just be Republicans, and, you know, it'll just be worse or worst. You know, which one do you want?
The conflict in Ukraine was a case in point, because, like, the initial invasion called for a big response immediately, and every bit of slow walking and dragging failure to respond meant more damage. And that is the same case for this invasion. It's just going to be more stuff that will barely get put back together, if ever.
Absolutely. So true. So
tell
true.
Your kids that. That's a nice little bedtime story.
By the way, speaking of the people that rebelled at Doge today, they have a website. It's called WeTheBuilders.org. Yeah, WeTheBuilders.org. And I think it just launched. And they have all kinds of cool statements on there. It's going to be growing, I'm sure. Who we are, for decades we've done our jobs in the background. We made it easier to file taxes, get veterans benefits, and apply for financial aid. During times of crisis, we helped refugees navigate immigration processes, helped everyone find vaccines, and helped parents find baby formula. I'm sure there are people who are screaming against all those things, but deal with it. They're good humanitarian causes. Along the way, we made government websites easier to use while protecting the integrity of your personal information. If they really wanted to know how to use technology to build a more efficient country, they would just ask us, but they haven't. They are destroyers. We are the builders. So, yeah, WeTheBuilders.org. That's where it begins. And I'm happy to say it's beginning. There are all kinds of demonstrations and rallies taking place. You know, there was a big one in Washington Square Park only a few days ago, which I couldn't believe. I thought it was a fake photo. The place was so mobbed with people, but it was real. That actually happened. There have been demonstrations here on Long Island, all across the country. People are starting to say, we've had enough, we're fed up. And it's getting warm again, so people are more likely to go outside and actually express their opinions.
A lot of them can happen and are happening virtually as well. There's a lot on our information networks that can be done and should be and will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There are all kinds of ways to keep updated on the internet, on Facebook and various other social media platforms. But the important thing is to talk with the people that you see on a daily basis, to basically make sure that none of what's happening is glossed over or ignored. You know, there are all kinds of ways of expressing dissent, whether it's just reading certain things or finding common groups, entertainment venues, or social areas. There's a whole lot of ways to get involved. This is the beginning. This is the beginning, but it's extremely vital.
I'm not paying anymore. I'm not paying for the billionaires. I'm not paying for others. No, I paid enough.
I think many of us have. Many of us feel that
way. I'm not paying.
Yeah, but you know, okay, we have the outro music going, but you know, we still have some things to say. So I just want to make sure we get this out. CPAC was this weekend. We didn't get any time to talk about that. I just want to say that Steve Bannon gave his Nazi salute. Did you see this? Yeah, it's a Nazi salute.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is that you know, a lot of people noticed right away, hey, Steve Bannon gave a Nazi salute. You know, very similar to what Elon Musk did. And if you look on Twitter, which is, you know, a right-wing bastion now, everyone is saying, boy, you leftists, you see Nazi things everywhere you look. You know, well, it's because they're appearing everywhere we look. And obviously he did that intentionally, either to troll us or because that's his true sentiment. It's not something that should be ignored. And, of course, you know, they want us to ignore that kind of thing.
Do you remember when we were in Germany? It was in Dresden years ago. I think like, 2011?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the hackerspace, and it was when Pegida was marching, right? The fascist far-right movements and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember that one hacker at the hackerspace saying to us, fascism's on the rise. And it sounded so weird. It sounded so weird to hear someone saying that. And yeah, we've been looking out for it. And we have seen it. And it is rising. And it needs to be put back to where it came from. Far away.
You know, there's a French far-right leader, Jordan Bardella. Far-right, you know, basically fascist party, the whole works. You know, something to be reckoned with. That Nazi salute by Steve Bannon was too much even for him. He was supposed to appear at CPAC. He intended to talk about relations between the U.S. and France. Issued a statement saying, yesterday, while I was not present in the room, one of the speakers, out of provocation, allowed himself a gesture alluding to Nazi ideology. I therefore took the immediate decision to cancel my speech that had been scheduled this afternoon. When even the Nazis say you're being too Nazi, you should look at that. You should look at the people you're following and ask some serious questions. All right, you know what? We're just about out of time. There's so much else to talk about. But, you know, we'll be back next week. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Off the Wall is on every Tuesday, 6 to 7. Okay, Andrew Cuomo wants to run for New York City mayor. You know, that was a whole 10 minutes right there. We'll talk about that next week. Hopefully there'll be more developments. Final words, Kyle?
Have fun, everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be active. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Just remember, you're not alone, and There are so many friendly voices here on WUSB that will comfort you throughout the course of a day or a week. And our voices will be back again, as mentioned, next week. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.
Listening to WSB 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. That is WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM and W297 BM Stony Brook 107.3 FM. I'm Benjamin Stevens, your news director and DJ. We'll be getting to the news shortly. Today we'll be switching things up. We'll start with sports, then go to the more...